Well, good morning. This is Bob Sutherland from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Wall Street Journal and from the business section of Raleigh's News and Observer, and perhaps we'll get in an article from the Triangle Business Journal. But today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, and they served our community so well since 1974. They can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, from the local area, 12 Rite Aid stores in the Triangle are closing soon. They'll be closing in the next few weeks. Last year, as part of a $4.3 billion deal, Walgreens agreed to buy 1,932 Rite Aid stores nationwide, plus three distribution centers. In the Raleigh-Durham area, the Illinois-based pharmacy chain acquired 38 Rite Aid stores. It plans to close more than 20 of those stores, so said Fiona Ortiz, spokeswoman for Walgreens. It has yet to identify the remaining stores that will be closed, Ms. Ortiz said. Now, Rite Aids in Cary, Chapel Hill, Durham, Raleigh, and Zebulon will be closed. Others will be rebranded as Walgreens over time, starting with the pharmacies. Ortiz said customers may transfer their Rite Aid prescriptions to any Walgreens or Walgreens-owned Rite Aid stores. At each store, the pharmacy will close first and the rest of the store about 2 weeks later, so said Ortiz. Now here's a list of the 12 stores slated to close. That's 1129 Weaver Dairy Road in Chapel Hill, 3798 Guest Road in Durham, 1800 East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, 8005 Fayetteville Road in Raleigh, 8841 on Six Forks Road, 1311 West North Carolina 54 in Durham, 101 Woodcroft Road in Durham, 5631 Creedmoor Road in Raleigh, 320 North Arundel Avenue in Zebulon, 2711 Jones Franklin Road in Cary, 2850 Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh, 13300 Strickland Road in Raleigh. Ortiz could not say how many employees will be affected by the closings, but the company is trying to place Rite Aid employees into jobs at Walgreens. Ashley Flower, spokeswoman for Rite Aid, said seven Rite Aid stores in North Carolina were not purchased by Walgreens. Rite Aid will continue to own and operate those stores in Mount Airy, Clayton, Goldsboro, Holly Springs, Rocky Mount, Tarboro, and Wilson. Well, the market suffered another down day yesterday, Wednesday the 11th, down 219.21 to close at 24,700.45. That's about flat with what it was January 1 of this year. Well, from Europe, the Brexit resignations threaten Prime Minister Theresa May. The resignation of two Brexit hardliners from the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May's cabinet plunged her government and party into a political crisis that really does threaten to change the country's course toward leaving the European Union. Britain is due to leave the bloc in less than 9 months, and the resignations of Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson and David Davis, the minister in charge of Britain's negotiations to leave the EU, blew apart a fragile truce in the government over its Brexit strategy. Both ministers campaigned for Brexit and became standard bearers for a decisive break with the EU. They quit after a cabinet meeting on Friday when a plan was agreed on to seek a close economic relationship with the EU and to retain large parts of EU regulation. Their decision to quit increases the likelihood of a challenge to Mrs. May's leadership from within her own party. That would likely further delay a critical phase of the negotiations over Brexit with the bloc whose leaders are already overwhelmed in responding to large-scale migration and what they see as President Donald Trump's moves to upend the global trade and security order. Well, rising wages are beginning to eat into the profits of some U.S. companies. Businesses from dollar stores to hotel operators to food chains have warned in recent months that higher labor costs have been a drag on their profits, a potential headwind for the 9-year stock market rally as it struggles for momentum ahead of the second quarter earnings season. Average hourly earnings increased 2.7% in June from a year earlier. That's according to the Labor Department's monthly jobs data released this past Friday. Although that is below the 2.8 economists expected, wages have risen at least 2.5% for 16 of the past 17 months. That's a faster pace than recorded earlier in the economic expansion. That is good news for U.S. workers who have seen tepid wage increases over the past few years and may benefit some businesses as consumers more willingly open their wallets for discretionary purchases. Well, who's the big loser when tariffs are imposed on imports? The surprising answer is exporters. Though completely counterintuitive, theory and evidence show that taxes on imports act just like a tax on exports. The Trump administration's recent round of tariffs is already rippling out to exporters. Soybean farmers face plunging prices as China raises tariffs. Harley-Davidson will move production of motorcycles destined for the European Union out of the United States, and BMW says foreign retaliation may hit exports from its South Carolina plant. Economists credit Abba Lerner, then a graduate of the London School of Economics, for proving theoretically in 1936 that an import tariff was equivalent to a tax on exports. The Lerner symmetry theorem is a key principle of trade economics, like 19th century economist David Ricardo's theory of competitive advantage. Well, Chevron's boss, not Exxon's, is a top-paid energy chief. Recently retired, John Watson of the oil giant Chevron Corporation topped the list of highest-paid energy bosses in the S&P 500, taking home more in 17 than his counterpart did over at ExxonMobil. Mr. Watson, 61 years of age, received $24.8 million in 17, compared with the $17.5 that first-year Exxon chief Darren Woods was paid last year. That's according to Wall Street Journal analysis of pay data from MyLogic IQ. Mr. Woods took over January 1 after Rex Tillerson left Exxon to join the Trump administration. Well, I hope he'll be able to make it on that. Well, Smucker is selling U.S. baking brands. J.M. Smucker Company is selling its U.S. baking business to a private equity firm for $375 million, including debt. Food companies to shed decades-old brands whose sales are in decline because of changing consumer tastes. Smucker said Monday that Greenwich, Connecticut-based Brinwood Partners would buy Funfetti and Pillsbury baking mixes and Hungry Jack pancakes, among other brands. Smucker put the baking business, which generated about 5% of its revenues, up for sale in April. Well, Starbucks and Hyatt, a plan to phase out the plastic straws. They said on Monday they would phase out single-serve plastic straws and pledge to reduce packaging waste from their drinks and meals, joining other big companies in heeding customers' environmental concerns. McDonald's meanwhile is phasing out plastic straws in the UK and Ireland and testing alternatives made from other materials in the United States. Burger King, a unit of Restaurant Brands International, said it has committed to making all of its packaging in the UK recyclable by the year 2025. Executives say they are responding to advocacy groups and customers who say the convenience of straws and other plastic packaging isn't worth the environmental damage they can do, particularly to the world's oceans. 8 million metric tons of plastic enter the world's oceans every year. That's according to the Ocean Conservancy. A social media movement to stop using straws took off in 2015 when a YouTube video showing a sea turtle with a straw stuck in its nose went viral. Lawmakers have responded to the public outcry as well. Officials in the UK said early this year that they would ban the sale of a single-use plastics, including straws, as early as next year. That has put pressure on multinational companies to make changes ahead of the ban. Well, speaking of closures, over at Rite Aid announced here that Kroger store on Creedmoor Road is to close next week. Please excuse me. Kroger announced on Monday that it's shutting down one of its Triangle stores this week. Stores located at 6300 150 Creedmoor Road, and that's closing today, more than a month ahead of the company's original closing date. The Kroger at 8345 Creedmoor Road will remain open until August 14. Cincinnati-based Kroger announced on June 13 that all of its Kroger stores in the Triangle would close on August 14. According to a statement from Kroger, the Creedmoor Road store is closing at the request of Crunch Fitness, which is buying the store. Associates at the Creedmoor Road store will be transferred to other Kroger stores in the Raleigh-Durham market. The remaining 13 stores in Raleigh and Durham are still slated to close on August 14, and 1,652 people will lose their jobs. Of the remaining stores, 8 will become Harris Teeter stores, including the 8345 Creedmoor Road store. Food Lion will require the store at 7905 Falls of Neuse in Raleigh. Dana Robinson, communications manager for Harris Teeter, said there is no timetable for the Harris Teeter renovations at this time. The Food Lion location is scheduled to open in early 2019. 5 of the Kroger Harris Teeter pharmacies will remain open to customers during the remodeling of the stores. Well, the prices for municipal bonds have recovered from their worst first quarter slump over the past 15 years. The reason? United States and cities continue to cut back on their borrowing. Municipalities borrowed $156 billion in the first two quarters of this year, down 17% from last year. Citigroup researchers are projecting that year-over-year decline will reach 25% by the end of the year. The low supply is pushing up the value of existing bonds and reducing borrowing costs of some governments, particularly on riskier bond deals. 12-year bonds backed by settlement payments from tobacco companies to the state of California sold with yields of 3.07 in June compared with yields of 3.25 in March of last year. It's a seller's market, so said Howard Cure, director of municipal bond research at Evercore Wealth Management, which invests in public debt. He goes on to say, "We're trying to be careful about that aspect of it and not go down that path of sacrificing for a little extra yield and having a big decline in credit quality." And from the Wall Street Journal, a Bitcoin exchange has hired the New York Stock Exchange's top technology executive. The latest sign that cryptocurrency trading platforms are seeking to move beyond their rebellious roots and look more like traditional financial markets. Gemini, the digital currency exchange founded by twin brother entrepreneurs Cameron Winklevoss And Tyler Winklevoss will add the Stock Exchange Chief Information Officer to its management team later this month. Mr. Cornish will be Gemini's first Chief Technology Officer. His last day at the Stock Exchange was last week, so people with familiar with the story said. Well, back in the Raleigh area, Red Hat, there's a Boku space in Red Hat's downtown Raleigh tower, but the open source software company is starting to feel a bit squeezed. When Red Hat moved its headquarters from Centennial Campus to the tower in 13, it brought 600 employees and had plans to add another 540 over 9 years. 5 years later, the building now hosts anywhere from 2,000 to 2,200 Red Hatters on any given day, depending partly on how many people elect to work from home, so said Allison Showalter, a Red Hat spokeswoman. As a result, the company is now having to make some changes to find space for all of its workers. Its most visible move has been the recent decision to ask Boku, that's Boku, B-U-K-U, the restaurant in the building's lower level at the corner of Davie and Wilmington streets, to move out. Boku is headed to Cary at the end of the year. Parallel to that, an in-house evaluation is spurring some office shuffles upstairs. We are doing some reconfiguring on several floors to allow for more space for associates, so said Showalter. For now, we're not planning to expand into any additional space outside of Boku, noting that there are other restaurants and offices on the first floor in spaces that Red Hat isn't using. When Red Hat moved downtown from NC State's University's Centennial Campus, it swapped 188,000 square feet of space for a tower with 352,000 square feet. That's according to Wake County tax records. The tower was once headquarters of Progress Energy, which based about 1,000 employees there before merging with Duke Energy. Well, Chinese exporters scrambled to cope with the tariffs. They were scrambling Monday to cope with a plunge in the United States sales while China's state press shrugged off the impact of Washington's tariff hikes in a spiraling technology dispute. The impact of Friday's tariff hikes on the world's second-largest economy should be limited. That's according to private sector analysts. But President Donald Trump's measures targeting Chinese medical, construction, and factory equipment hit exporters that say price-conscious American customers have stopped buying. The general manager of a medical device exporter that makes 15 to 20% of its sales to the United States said he plans to fly there next week to negotiate with customers who stopped ordering its syringes and other equipment. Now, Wuxi Yushu Medical Devices Company Limited, with a workforce of 500, stands to lose $4.5 to $6 million in annual revenue, according to the manager, Mao Liping. Without new orders, he goes on to say, I will suspend making the products. It is not easy for us to compete with low-end products in other companies. Other exporters of goods from kitchen appliances and lighting to toys and tools have reported similar drops in U.S. orders. The state press tried to downplay the impact on China, emphasizing what Beijing says would be the bigger blow to American consumers who will pay more for Chinese goods. China can find other suppliers for soybeans and other American goods, but hit by its own retaliatory tariffs, state media said. Added tariffs basically have no effect on the companies. The chairman of the China's biggest chemical company's state-owned Sinochem Group told the website aweb.com. Despite official bravado, the conflict adds to mounting economic challenges for Beijing. Growth already was cooling after regulators tightened controls last year on bank lending to cool surging debt. Well, what's that doing to Wall Street? headline here, trade war prompts yawns, Y-A-U-N-S, on Wall Street. What trade war? So it says. Investors on Monday continued shrugging off fears that President Donald Trump's escalation of trade hostilities will put a dent in share prices. Indeed, on just the second trading day since the U.S. and China each slapped tariffs on $34 billion of imports from the other, the Dow Jones Industrial Average recorded the best day in a month. The index leaped 1.3%, turning positive for the year and beating its 50-day moving average for the first time in 3 weeks. It was the Dow's third highest closure in a row. The gains continued on Tuesday as the Dow rose 143 points. But I might just comment, in looking at the journal this morning, the Dow Jones is just right at the same level it was January 1 of this year. So there's been no growth in the Dow Jones. The performance suggests that trade jitters, which have stalked a shaky stock market all year, will not easily overwhelm a focus on solid economic fundamentals. The underlying strength of the economy was on display on Friday's stronger-than-expected jobs report, with 213,000 jobs added in June, along with upward revisions for April and May. Investors expect the good news will continue rolling in as the second quarter earnings kick into gear. Market watchers say investors are not ignoring the threats posed by Trump's budding trade fights. Rather, most are assessing that the Trump administration is still just maneuvering for leverage and will not follow through with the full round of tariffs the president has threatened. On balance, it's a reason to be less positive, says Ed Clissold, chief U.S. strategist at the Ned Davis Research. But, as he goes on to say, at the end of the day, do we think this is going to turn into a major trade war that's going to cause a major recession? That doesn't appear to be the case. Part of our thesis is that President Trump's negotiating style has been to start with strong position. Well, it looks like that Amazon is going to be taking the distribution center, or actually going to make a distribution center out of an old ConAgra plant. This is from Garner. Excuse me again, please. Amazon will open a distribution center next year on the former ConAgra site. That's according to a source familiar with all the discussions. Last week, a unanimous Garner Town Council approved a special use permit for a four-story, 2.6 million square foot distribution center on 88 acres on Jones Sausage Road. Now, Hillwood, a commercial real estate developer, will build the distribution center on behalf of a client. Scott Martin, director of development for Hillwood, told the town council last week that his client wants the distribution center open by September of 19. Martin did not name his client, and during the lengthy public hearing last week on the special use permit, no one said what company would occupy the center. When asked what he could say about the project, Garner Mayor Ronnie Williams said, "Nothing." But the source familiar with the discussion said Amazon would build a distribution center employing up to 1,500 people. Martin did not confirm the number of jobs, but said the distribution center would have two shifts, though it could sometimes have three. The documentation associated with the project has many specifics, like 58 docking bays, 1,800 parking spaces, but it does not name a company. The only hint that Amazon could be the tenant is the building's color scheme, that is, three shades of gray with accents in yellow and blue. Amazon has used that color scheme on some of its fulfillment centers. On Monday, WRL News reported that sources who spoke on condition of anonymity had told the media outlet for several months that Amazon had its eyes on the Garner location. Well, that's good to be able to fill up that ConAgra site. Pfizer backs off raising drug prices. Pfizer said on Tuesday that it would defer some recent drug price increases, reversing course after President Trump criticized a company. The New York-based drug maker, one of the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies by sales, faced criticism from Mr. Trump and others after raising the prices of more than 40 drugs last week. Pfizer backtracked after Chief Executive Ian Reed spoke with Mr. Trump and Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. The company will return these prices to their pre-July 1 levels as soon as technology permits. It added that the restored levels will remain in effect until the president had a chance to put in his plan to curb high drug prices or the end of the year, whichever is earlier. Mr. Trump was the first to announce the move in a tweet. Quote, "We applaud Pfizer for this decision and hope other companies do the same," end quote. Mr. Azar, when asked about Mr. Trump's tweet in a CNN interview, said Mr. Trump, quote, "cares passionately," unquote, about lowering drug prices and applauded the move by Pfizer, but did not offer further details. Pfizer shares were unchanged at $37.43 a share in after hours trading on Tuesday. Well, continuing on that last note regarding the earnings and stock prices, corporate earnings are poised to extend a run of double-digit growth for the second quarter, providing a balm for stock market that has languished as investors grapple with threats ranging from fractious trade relations to tightening monetary policy. Analysts expect second quarter profit at S&P 500 companies to log a rise of 20% from a year earlier. That's according to FactSet. Despite fears that earnings peaked in the first quarter, they remain on pace for the second fastest growth rate in nearly 8 years. Revenue also is expected to impress, with estimated growth of 8.7% from the prior year, the fastest rate since 2011's third quarter. The buoyant outlook for earnings highlights the vigor of U.S. corporations 9 years into a domestic economic expansion. Gains from U.S. corporate tax cuts, a robust national economy, and confidence among small businesses and consumers have given corporate earnings a fresh boost this year, helping offset headwinds such as the Trump administration's contentious trade policies and rising interest rates. On Tuesday, for example, PepsiCo reported a bigger-than-expected jump in core profit due to, in part, to its domestic snacks businesses, sending its shares up almost 5%. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5101.